Hello, welcome along to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. It's me, Sean. I'm not in Amsterdam. I'll explain that a bit later, but I'm sitting here down a phone line talking to Robbie Britton over in Italy. How are you doing, Robbie?
I'm all right, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing well. We decided to leave the country of the Netherlands, and we've come back to England, to the southwest, where we're currently in isolation until we can see family. We just decided we'd be locked down there for 12 weeks in a tiny flat with a baby and no family or friends really to come and visit. So we just thought, like, we can get back to some fresh air and some hills.
You were on social media and you thought the UK looks like a good place to head to.
Yeah, I like living in shortages of toilet rolls. And I thought, yeah, that gets me really riled up. So I want to get back and enjoy a bit of fighting down the local Tesco. So, yeah, we decided to go for it. I don't know if it's about. I don't know if we've done the right thing, but we've come out. We've got no signs of any symptoms so far from being on the plane. There was no one at the airport, to be honest. I think you're probably more likely to pick up a coronavirus in the Netherlands in the supermarkets these days than you are from flying. But we've been pretty safe.
I mean, what basis do you have for that, Sean? Do you have any scientific evidence to back that up? Bear in mind that it has no symptoms for 5 to 10 days as well.
Anecdotal, so pure anecdotal.
You may well have just contracted it on your flight. Good job.
This is so crazy this time because everything, like any little kind of niggle, like you choke on your drink and you suddenly think, oh shit, I've got a cough. Or, you know, you feel a little bit peaky in the morning. You think, oh Jesus, I've got a sore throat and I can't manage this. Like, hypochondriacs must be having a terrible time right now. They must be they must be at home just wondering what the hell's happened to them. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, I went down to get some post. We got like the post is still working out in Italy, but they're all wearing masks and stuff. Yeah. And like, I ran down the stairs and I was about to cough. We got like 4 flights of stairs. Yeah. I thought, I can't cough because then all the neighbours are just going to get terrified. They might come up and chuck us off the balcony. Yeah. And then you get down the bottom and open the door and the geezer's about 5 foot away and he's lobbing the parcel at you. Fragile, don't care, lobbing it. Whoosh, take this.
Yeah.
So it's a, yeah, that's a bit weird. Yeah. I'm scared. Oh, I can't cough. I haven't got a cough.
No, but suddenly you will do, as soon as you get in contact with anyone else. Yeah, how is it there?
Psychosomatic.
We know most of the listeners are English, right? So a lot of the people listening will be sitting at home, not isolated necessarily. Probably the kids are going to school today. We're recording this on Friday, so kids are still going to school now. All the businesses, I've just been to the shops, so the businesses are open a lot of places. Like, what?
Well, that isolation's going well, isn't it?
It's not even happening. No, it's not happening at all. What is happening with you? How is it going there? You seeing people outside? Is it like?
Well, I think the problem is that my life is quite self isolated anyway. So me and Natalie both work from home, and then we go out and run or cycle on our own.
Yeah.
So the main change has been that I'm cycling indoors, and that's more because the message is a bit unclear, but basically they don't want too many people going outside and having, if you have an accident, you become a burden on the you can become an extra burden on the health services. So I've taken the decision myself to stay indoors, and we chat with a group of other like Italian, like local athletes, and they're all kind of sticking indoors or sticking in the local area. Natalie's going out for dog walks, which thankfully do involve a bit of running because it's a pointer. Rosa needs to stretch her legs, but it's been pretty sensible. We're working from home as we normally do, and the supermarket went the other day and it's quiet. It's very well stocked. It's probably more stocked than usual. There is no shortage of bog roll. Everyone's wearing masks and they're all a bit wary, but generally, I mean, the thing with the wearing the masks, well, people are wearing these masks, right, and then constantly adjusting them with their hands, thus touching the collection of germs within said mask, and then spreading them around. So they're actually probably I got funny looks for not wearing a mask, but I just avoid touching my face.
Yeah.
Didn't cough on anything or anyone.
Yeah.
And but like everyone's in masks, but if you are wearing a mask, just have a think about it, because if you're just touching it, then you're spreading that around anyway. It's pretty normal, eh?
It's the same with the gloves. It's the same with the gloves. You put those plastic gloves on, then you go and touch something, then you go and touch you scratch your ear, then you go and put the gloves down somewhere where you shouldn't put them down, then you put the gloves back on, touching them with your hands. It's just, It's crazy, isn't it? Really? Subject, none of these things. It? Yeah, yeah. But hey, crazy. I don't know how people are exercising still. So particularly, well, yeah, I guess you've got a turbo in there. But people who haven't got a turbo, like, what?
I've got a turbo. Yeah. I've heard from an insider at Wiggle that turbo sales have gone through the roof.
Really?
People stockpiling bog roll should be stockpiling turbos.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I've heard as well.
Don't know if that information is supposed to be shared.
There'll be a run now. There'll be a run on those turbos. I'm thinking of getting. I haven't even got a bike, but commission. I need a turbo. Yeah. Get out there and get one.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're diverging from the running chat, but hey, are you still injured then? So I guess you are not able to run it, and that, probably that's a good thing. You can't run.
I don't know. My knees are feeling a bit better every now and again.
Yeah.
But I can't test it.
Right.
So I don't know. I might not be injured.
Yeah.
Let's be positive here.
Yeah.
I could be completely healthy. I just don't know because I can't go outside.
Yeah. That's good for you. And a lot of people are having to scale back their marathon. Like, I'm going a bit easy at the moment just because I don't want to make sure that I push too hard. I did have trouble with white blood cells in September, October, so I'm a bit I shouldn't really go nuts in the training, so I'm easing back. I think a lot of people are taking the opportunity to have a bit of a chill. But what are the guys like? People like with this announcement with the Olympic games. What are people like that do? People who have potential to make Olympic games. How do you keep going? How do you keep motivation, not knowing it's on or it's off? They need to make a decision on that sort of thing pretty quick, don't they?
Well, I have just been sent, I suppose you can talk about this because it won't be coming out straight away. This is an email from Barry Fudge about the marathon trial event. I haven't read it, but I could read it out now.
Yeah, do it.
And then one issue that is very much in the minds of athletes, coaches and all involved in preparation for the Olympic and Paralympic Games in Tokyo is selection. Following the postponement of the London Marathon, British Athletics moved to create an alternative race for selection. In light of government advice concerning coronavirus, this plan to stage a closed marathon trial between April 25th to 27th will not happen, and there are currently no plans to put an alternative event. Similarly, it's clear that a trial race for athletes in the 50k walk in the UK overseas is not possible. Mm-hmm. We fully appreciate all athletes' concerns at the time of great uncertainty. We want to provide clarity as soon as we can. This applies to all events.
Yeah.
The IOC stated on Tuesday that it will be able to work with World Athletics to make any necessary and practical adaptations to the qualification system for Tokyo and publishing these by the beginning of April, assuming the current timing for the Tokyo Games. Once decisions have been made and published, we will review our own selection policies alongside other decisions that have to be made in relation to, for instance, selection events and provided more detailed information as soon as possible. Obviously not what we all wanted, and hopefully we will have clarity ASAP. Take care of yourself and your families in this difficult time.
Right. But there's more controversy on the old UK athletics was the fact that now in certain areas, you're only allowed to train on a track if you're an Olympian, if you have the qualifying standard already.
It was the one for Loughborough, yeah, with Jess Judd. Yeah. I mean, that is. I think it's just sometimes people with paperwork and admin, they lose that common sense aspect of it. And it's unfortunate for someone like Jess, and there should have just been a very simple, oh yeah, that's a mistake, crack on, Jess. But that was just a bit unfortunate, really, isn't it? And then did you see, I mean, are you in the I Was or Am a Runner group?
I am, yeah, yeah.
Of old-fashioned discussion, and there was someone commented on that discussion, and James T, I don't know how you pronounce his name, Tom's got it right. He come back with a like, yeah, I'm sure you, like the guy was like, oh, well, back in the 80s and 70s, we ran much quicker times. Like, just like unwarranted, just come out of nowhere. That was his response, as often as the, and yes, they did run very quick times in the 80s. But James Dye's response was fantastic. It was like, yeah, I'm sure you did like run like a sub 50 minute 10K up a hill and then spend 8 hours working down a coal mine and then eat your 6 pints of bitter and then go and do a 30 times 400 off 8 second rest, and it was brilliant. It's nice to see someone because he is respected in both. Like sometimes you see a youngster kicking back in the group, and they're like shouted down, and you see someone of the 80s generation, and it's kind of not appreciated by the younger generation. But James is obviously in the middle, and he's respected by all. And to see that kind of comment made me smile.
And I bet you 50 quid that guy personally who wrote the comment didn't run quick times in the 80s, let's be honest.
Probably did, mate. They all did in that group.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy if your 5K is only 4.5K long. I might break 15 minutes. What's the average age of your listeners? Just before I get like,
we might have a few. We might have a few in both camps, but yeah, we'll see.
I do like that. I was around a runner group, but I have to like go in and out because it can get quite repetitive and a bit negative at times.
Yeah, there was a big running battle, wasn't there? I think some people kind of going on there causing a problem. I don't like. Basically, I think if you want to have a group and chat amongst yourself about how the good of days were, then fair play to you. Do you know what I mean? I don't think people going on there.
It's a fantastic resource for information. Yeah. Like, really is. There's some great stuff in there. Yeah. There's some really nice like old pictures and reports of races. And there's a wealth of knowledge in there.
Yeah.
But also, there is a bit of angriness at times.
Yeah.
And there's enough angriness out there without having it compiled into one place.
Man, it's all over social media, right? The Twitter's full of angry people. Yeah. Let's Run's full of angry people. Yeah, everywhere.
Oh, Let's Run, that's a good one, isn't it? I go on there every now and again. I have an actual registered account.
Do you? Has it still got a forum?
The forum, mate, it's rife. It's because it's still, you can speak anonymously on there. So you just write like, well, so-and-so's a cheat. I know this because I made it up. And you're like, oh, great. Thanks for that. Thanks for that value.
I did love the sort of the 8-lane. This is, we're going down a rabbit hole here. The 8-lane forum. Do you remember those times people were slagging each other off on 8-lane? Anyway.
I wasn't on 8-lane. I wasn't on that one. It was before my time, mate.
This is what's happened. There's no running news. We're not training for anything, so we have to talk about forums and that sort of thing and all that kind of malarkey.
Yeah. Running news. What kind of running news? Is there anything? Any races still going?
No, I don't think so. I think everything. It's going to be quite a bottleneck in October. So this is actually a bit of news. I've not actually told you, Robbie. I've not told many people. But we are... I'm getting on a bit, as we know. I'm 30s. Am I 36 or 37? I'm one of the two. I think I'm 37. Anyway, I haven't got many years left to do a bit of this running.
Right, that's
so I kind of talked to... I tried to do a quick marathon before, and I'm training with Martin Cox at the moment. We're working on running a marathon in October, you know, in the autumn this year. So we weren't going to worry about April or whatever. But unfortunately, I'm going to have another baby. So I've entered Berlin. I've contributed to having a baby with my wife, who's actually the person having the baby. And
take credit.
And unfortunately, we're due. I entered Berlin. I was thinking, right, this is maybe my swan song. One last big marathon. I'm tired of all this. I love running, but two kids. I do want to have two kids. So once the two kids come along, I tell you what, my life's of running is pretty much finished. So I was thinking, go for Berlin. Lo and behold, I get the due date this week. So we're 12 weeks. We're a bit beyond 12 weeks now, I think. And
congratulations on that.
Flag. Thanks, man. Yeah. 5 days before Berlin, baby number two arrives. So I'm going to have to scrap that one. But unfortunately, I was really hoping all these rescheduled marathons would get put in at the beginning of September, because then I might be able to, you know, baby won't have arrived.
Yeah.
I can have a real dig at these marathons. All of them, without fail, have been put to October. So October is going to be a mental month in world marathon running.
It's going to be good, isn't it?
Oh, London,
Paris. If you're like an auto run and you fancy winning one of them, like, you can really like pick and choose, can't you?
Ah, yeah. That's not a bad idea. I was thinking of going over to Reykjavik and trying to run that one, or Tallinn, because they're at the beginning of September. But the problem with me is...
I coach an Estonian. I could get you some like the inside information if you want.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I coach a member of the Estonian 24-hour national team.
Oh, okay.
Nice guy.
He'd know a bit about Tallinn. I've been to Tallinn before once, but he might know a bit more about than me about Tallinn. But
he might do, yeah.
No, that was going to be good. But the thing is, with those races, kind of these big city marathons, you get a lot of Kenyans in there. So you get guys running 212, 210. But then where I want to be, 221, 220, even 219 if I get lucky, there's no one there. So it's just like, what is the point going to run 26.2 miles on your own? Or do you go and then run Berlin and hope for the best that the baby comes early and or comes late or whatever? I can't. If it comes late, I won't be able to do it. But yeah, so my own running news is quandary.
Are there no Spanish? Because the Spanish really have a good depth at all of their races.
But it's too hot in September, isn't it? They all do it in like February and December and that sort of thing. So yeah, right, yeah, running
for you.
Running career.
I signed up for not Reykjavik. I was signing up to one.
Riga. In... Riga?
No. I think it might have been Finland.
Oh.
Yeah. Paavo Nurmi won last August. Looked well good.
I might do that. That's one of the ones on my list.
There you go. I signed up for that last year and couldn't go because I got injured.
Ah.
I was well excited. I was probably going to like run rapid. I was going to probably be low 220s.
The winner went in 227, so it would be a chance to win the Paavo Nurmi marathon.
Yeah.
And I'm working with I've started working now with sports brand Kahoo. Kahoo are a cool brand, man.
Do you sell cars? No.
Do you know Kahoo? Look up Kahoo. Everybody here, mate, I'm selling them now.
How do you spell it?
Kahu. They're mainly lifestyle brand, right? So they're really cool, like old style trainers. But
is this an ad? Do you have to say hashtag ad?
This isn't actually an ad. I'm not paid to do this. I offered them the podcast.
Child at Risk Health Unit. Is that what you meant?
No.
It's the Australian Child at Risk Health Unit.
K A R H U. Have I said that right?
All right. Yeah. K. I used to see.
There we go. So let's give you a history lesson of this brand.
It's Finnish.
They're Finnish. They used to make the shoes for all the Finnish legends. So they're a really old brand. There's a couple of things that are interesting about them. They originated the three stripes, the Adidas three stripes, Adidas.
Are you really going to say that? What if we get? Lawyers are listening?
No. They sold it to Adidas for a bottle of whiskey and something else. Or they lost it in a card game or something. Something ridiculous. It's a really, really funny story. And, you know, during the time of Steve Prefontaine, so Kahoo invented the air bubble in shoes. Right?
Are they just drinking loads of vodka and like claiming they made everything? Old geezer down the pub.
This is true. This is a true story, right? And so he used to train over in Finland. The Finnish guys used to go over to America and race because obviously then the Finnish guys are pretty hot. And they took over these shoes. Prefontaine had a look at them, loved them. Nike developed the air bubble on the back of it. This is what I've been told, all these stories, and I think they're true. I believe these guys. And they're now run by an Italian fella who is the European champion 1500 metres back in the days of who's that British guy who presents, who's a great run? What's his name again? Brendan Foster.
Brendan.
Yeah. They're a really cool brand, and they're moving back into running shoes because they've been lifestyle. So I'm working with them in the Netherlands. And they make skis
as well.
Yeah, man, they're cool. I don't know if this is interesting content for people to listen to, but like, there's nothing else going on, so you might as well listen to me and Robbie having a chat.
Well, your little kind of tidbits about what they invented.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says, I mean, it does say on Wikipedia, so obviously I can edit Wikipedia, so you may have done this before the show. It sold the Three Stripes trademark for the equivalent of €1,600 and two bottles of whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really incredible. And all these guys, all the flying Finns, they're all wearing these shoes. So they're really nice. And the lifestyle ones are real quality. Guys, get on it. Get on it. Buy loads of shoes. And if there's a comment section of the site, say, Sean sent me here. Yeah. I think this is a more interesting thing. The running world's quite interesting. Brett Lana, Japanese running. You know, what's that website that everyone loves? That has
Japanese news? I know what you mean. Yeah,
he is the Kahoo rep in Japan. So he sells Kahoo over in Japan. So yeah, they're an interesting brand. They've got great history. So if you're someone who's like interested in history, not interested in these Nike big waffle shoes that you can get super fast times in, if you're interested in going back to the old days, and they make great shoes.
History. Do you want a PB? No, I want to have a bit of history on my feet.
I want to feel pure, honest, and successful. I mean, they've got good shoes. I should talk about that too, but. Yeah. Anyway,
have you tried this? Have you run in their shoes?
I've got a few prototypes. Yeah, for next year. But this isn't an advert.
I feel that it did need. It feels like it needed a hashtag ad on there.
I haven't
tested these shoes.
Yeah. Okay. We'll move away now because I feel I'm worried.
Let's talk about Odlo clothing now. Come on, mate. But let me drop in my sponsors. Precision Hydration. Like that's, you got to be get precise with that, mate.
Yeah, you have got
the hydration. Ad.
Yeah.
Basically, my message, though, is that you should buy good kit.
Yeah.
And look after it. And don't buy shit you don't need.
Yeah. What's our advice for running in Corona? Also, you haven't got any advice because you can't go out. But I would guess people should just...
We can. I would listen to government guidelines. I published an article on Fast Running today.
Yeah.
Basically, if you've been training hard for a marathon... Just take a little bit of time easy. Just go out, enjoy some trails. Don't go too far from home. Don't run in groups. Don't just go around high-fiving strangers.
Yeah.
But just take a bit of time down, because although you may not have done a marathon, right, which we kind of look at as the big damaging thing at the end of it, the whole block of marathon training, as you probably will know, can be quite a knackering experience.
Yeah.
So take a bit of time, maybe put some strides in if you're feeling good, get the legs turning over. But like with our fast running guys, we've got the Fast Running Performance Project, and we spoke to them on the phone. We did like a little video conference, and we're going to let people kind of chill out for a bit, and then we're going to look at maybe using the next couple of months to do some shorter stuff, some VO2 max, some like 5K, 10K workouts, and bring that long run down a bit, because everyone was up like running decent long runs, good endurance ready for the marathon, more specific work. And we want to keep that there, so every 2 or 3 weeks we'll probably chuck a longer long run in, a couple of hours, but bring it back a little bit, 80, 90 minutes worth, and get them on the trails, get them enjoying stuff. And the other side of things is that if you're training loads really high, it can suppress the immune system. There's a lot of things going out about, hard sessions suppress the immune system. It's not as simple as that. It's kind of a constant hard workout, heavy training load may leave you with a more suppressed immune system.
Yeah.
As you know, because you get colds all the time, don't you?
Yeah, that was because I wasn't eating and I was training too hard. So that's another thing.
There you go.
Yeah, eat. If there's any food left in your supermarkets, eat it.
But don't panic buy. Italy, I can say that no one's panic buying it, and there's enough around.
Yeah.
So little old deers, I feel sorry for, that go in the supermarket, and then in the middle of the day, and there's nothing there. Because my dad has gone and got 15 rolls of bog roll.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, bear in mind, my dad got in a fight in Morrison's about 10 years ago. So he's ahead of the curve.
Yeah. He knows how to stockpile. Like,
he's promised me he's not stockpiling, but in the same sentence also told me that he was stopped from buying too many bog rolls. So if you're listening, Dad, put the toilet roll down and get the fuck out of Morrison's.
I'm doing something in terms of the training thing. I'm doing something a bit different in terms of I keep saying to Martin, I'm supposed to do 2 sessions of strength and conditioning a week. Just sessions at home. But I do them and I just kind of fill in my diary saying, yeah, did it, whatever else. But I've had a little problem with my hip lately. So he said to me, why don't you write the numbers down of each, you know, how many reps you do for each thing. Cause we're doing them to fatigue each time. And, kind of have an effort to find out if there's any problems that are going on. And my glute maximus is terrible. So I'm doing loads of one leg bridges, which, I'm not doing very many at all. And he compared me, I think Robbie Simpson, he said, could do about 100 without fatiguing. And I'm doing about 15. So he said, Jesus, that's a problem. You need to work on that. So I'm taking this opportunity to like do some strength screening.
Well, you're getting compared to Robbie Simpson. I feel inadequate in all walks of life if I was compared to Robbie Simpson.
I feel inadequate. 100 to 15. Yeah. Have you seen that boy eat? Oh my word. I've only been away on one trip with him, but, I remember going to the buffet and he'd clear out a buffet and he'd talk about having 2 pizzas the night before some races and stuff. And I just,
we had him around for a barbecue once. But I mean, you're talking to an ultra runner. So like maybe we got a problem here, because if we stockpile food, I just eat whatever's in. So if we put more food in the cupboard, I just eat more food. So it doesn't really work. And I imagine Robbie's probably the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe his name linked to the name. So you're working on your strength and conditioning.
I'm mainly working on my ass. I'm working on my ass. So every day I'm doing a series of exercises and I'm focusing on that. So my ass is going to be powerful in 3 months' time. And then, I'm looking forward to unleashing my ass on the Netherlands and UK running community in the next 6 months. So, look out for that.
I mean, that is a headline you do not want to read.
Or hear. Or see. All of those things, I'm also waiting for the old Alpha Flies to come out. Can I buy them?
So, are you?
I'm going to buy them.
Why are you training them? Just get a pair of them and just jog around a 210.
Exactly, yeah.
They look a bit too far for me. I was hoping they were going to draw the line before the Alpha Fly.
Yeah.
I kind of predicted they would. And then they were like, no, it's surprisingly just inside the limit. Wow, bloody hell. That's a massive surprise, isn't it? Yeah, well done, guys. What a stroke of luck, hey? Did you watch the Olympic marathon trials? And you see, like, Galen Rupp, every time he went around a bend, he looked like he was going to fucking fall over.
Yeah.
That was just because he's like not having
he's on the springs, yeah.
Running around Ben's medication at the moment. He's maybe he's missing that one out.
Yeah, a bit dizzy. He needs to get something else for that.
What his new coach, Mike? Is it Mike Smith? His new coach was saying on a. Well, yeah, everyone's got stuff you don't know the whole story about. So I decided to coach Galen anyway, and I'm like, what? That's a rubbish what? Reason. It was I can't remember the wording, but it kind of, the headline was basically. Well, yeah, we don't know all the answers, so we can't judge everything, can we? Well, I mean, yeah, maybe a little bit, but, like, if I'm taking an athlete on, that's the kind of questions I ask.
Beforehand. How badly have you broken the rules in the last
year? Yeah. You want to let me in? Yeah. Let me know? Yeah. No? Okay, well...
Is he linked to Salazar though? Is it just kind of a continuity choice with Salazar still coaching from the sideline?
That is something I definitely couldn't comment on. I don't know. I saw like one tweet that Salazar was at the Olympic trials. Did you see that? And then I couldn't find it again. I saw it. Yeah, and then it disappeared.
Jesus.
Yeah.
God. I was going to say I feel kind of sorry for him, but actually I don't feel sorry for him at all.
What, for Salazar or?
Yeah. No, I don't. I've just remembered something, Robbie. I've just completely forgotten. This is supposed to be about, this is in our recovery series, and we haven't even spoke a little bit. We're kind of recovering. We spoke about health.
Oh, we spoke about recovering from your block of marathon training now that your races have all been postponed.
We did. But we were going to talk about, earlier in the series, we were going to talk about recoveries between intervals.
Between efforts.
As you just said yourself, an interval session, what was you said? The interval sessions are actually...
Yeah, the name interval, someone told me once that interval sessions are called so because of the intervals between the hard running. So the intervals aren't the efforts you're doing, they're the recoveries. Because you've got a tempo run and then you do an interval, so you add the intervals in.
There we go. The important bit's the bit in between. So if you'd, I guess, the problem with this discussion is, it all depends, right? So, like, if you are a young runner or if you're an older runner, if you are training, looking for specific benefits,
recoveries in your session are a one way that you can adapt the purpose of that session, and you can change, like 20 by 400 meters, if you change the length of the recoveries, it goes from working on your speed to like a tempo session for someone that's a bit faster. Like you can have 30 second recoveries between them, or you can have 2 minutes between them. It could be a completely different session. I don't know if you do it with that much, but yeah, the recoveries are a fine way to adapt the purpose of the session. What do you like? Do you like a static recovery or a moving recovery?
I remember, I can't remember who I was having the conversation with, but they were saying, Peter Coe, obviously Seb Coe's dad, wrote that massive, great big Bible about run. Was it the Law of Distance Running? No, that's Tim Noakes. I forget what it's called. They said that Peter Coe and training. So Peter Coe's training was that interval heavy, right? Lots of speed work, and he seemed to think that the reason why British runners dropped off in the '90s was because Peter Coe's method of training was adopted wholesale in Britain and in Western Europe. And he said that people went so in for interval training that they completely, to detriment, lost the ability to just run hard. And he seemed to think that actually interval training had basically ruined a generation of runners because it worked so well for Seb Coe, but he was an anomaly, right? So it then, because it influenced everyone else.
But he was probably still doing tempo running. Just wasn't calling it tempo running. He was probably calling it an easy run.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So he interval running, that they said it was wrong. And we need to get back to a time when we just go out and run hard. And I think that's what the Kenyans have always done, is just going and just hard running. Because a race is half an hour of hard running.
It's good to half an hour. Oh, look, 10K. Tend to length of rest.
Yeah.
Get you like dropping that in the half hour, 10K. Yeah, of course it is, mate. The new alpha flights, maybe. But again, like any kind of training, like anyone who's got a system, right, that works for everyone, that is the answer to all, is to be avoided. Just it's variety, it's specific purpose for the sessions, for what you're doing, and for that individual. Someone may react very well to intervals and different types of intervals. Someone may not even need them at all, and someone might need a lot of tempo runs. But most of us just need a good variety. We need to change it up, compare what we're training for, what we've done in the past, and yeah, there's the level of genetics in there as well. As well as like the psychological side of things. It could be some people find intervals that they're naturally quite fast. So they find interval sessions easy.
They love them, yeah.
And then you stick them in a progression run.
Yeah.
And they're having a nightmare.
Yeah.
Because they can't pace it, or they can't deal with that tougher, yeah, as you say, that kind of half-hour block of running. Yeah.
That was one. That so, was yeah, something.
I think it's mixing it up.
On an old interview with Dowie Griffiths, so we talked about why, because he went from running all right, he was one of the top British runners probably, to being like 209, you know, born in Britain's best. Obviously now he's had some health issues which have knocked him back a little bit, but he said the reason why he felt he got faster was he just started running his interval, is the gaps, the rests, a bit faster. So he was doing, I don't know, 10 times 3 minutes with 1 or 2 minutes rest, and he'd slowly jog or walk, you know, just keep moving on those rests. And he just decided, right, actually, or his coach said, just run those a little bit faster. So float them. I think that's the word you use, we discussed off air.
Float
between those, and it was a bit, push them a little bit harder. So he went from doing like, you know, half an hour of hard running with easy jogs in between to doing sort of 50 minutes, decent paced, hard effort. And it really pushed him on. So, I mean, yeah, it worked for Dowie. It might not work for you, but I certainly like those sessions.
It's a type of session, yeah. Isn't it? I do like certain people, will, like when I do that, I remember doing the marathon training with Tom for Valencia. And one of the ones was, I think it was like 10 by 3 minutes, maybe half marathon pace, 3 minutes steady.
Yeah.
Right? And I struggled more with the steady bit than I did with the marathon pace.
Yeah.
And I always remember doing a session way back, right, with a chap called Paul Navesy, yeah. Who's obviously, he's got a lot faster now. He's a 217 man, I believe, yeah. Now. He wasn't at the time, yeah. Hence like a trainer.
Yeah.
And it was 10K, and you did 400 metres 10K pace, 400 metres 5K pace, 400 metres marathon pace.
Yeah.
And with Paul being, he's a faster man than me, just like in general life. So on the 5Ks, he was leading the 5K laps. And he was more comfortable. Yeah. And on the marathon pace laps, funny enough, I was more comfortable.
Yeah.
And I was leading them. But we were two very similar level of runner at the time.
Yeah.
Not saying we are now, right?
And, still got it,
but
really.
That session stressed us both in very different ways.
Yeah.
And it's probably similar to what, yeah, like as Dowie was adapted his run, it's a different type of session.
Yeah.
It was a 10K on the track. And yeah, we did 5K pace, marathon pace, 5K marathon pace. And yeah, the two athletes, very similar level, were stressed very differently.
Yeah.
And that's the rest in that was the marathon pace.
Yeah.
And you might do something like, yeah, you might bring your rest up to like a steady pace instead of having a static rest or an easy jog. But that just changes the purpose of the session. I think it's always important to, what is the purpose of my session?
Yeah.
What am I trying to achieve?
Yeah.
And then look at what the rest is doing.
Yeah. There we go. There's no easy answer. That's the answer for our recovery thing.
Well, that's that. If anyone knows all the answers, they probably don't, do they?
Yeah.
Like, if you've got to ask so many questions to find out what's right for that for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of trying to arm people out there with what questions they should be asking.
Yeah, that's a good summary. So yeah, I think that's the end of the show. I think that's enough.
Oh.
Yeah, people can go and enjoy themselves. We might have a show next week. I'm not sure what's happening really. We'll try and keep getting stuff out. There's not a lot of news to talk about, but we may start the next series.
We don't have to talk about news. Yeah. I did share a tweet from this Irish actress this week saying that if you are on lockdown and you're a straight white male in your 30s thinking about starting a podcast.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Yeah.
And then someone pointed out that I had obviously jumped on board the Let's Get Running. So, like, I mean, maybe it would be better to, if there is a female athlete that we could replace me with, then that would be good, wouldn't it? Like, do you know anyone that? Like,
well,
because there's plenty of male voices out there.
There's too many.
Just do a few less.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Most running podcasts have got two male presenters on, as far as I know.
There's enough geezers around. Yeah. I like to think that. I used to think that I represent a bit of the working class, but now that I'm on my third postgraduate course, like degree, feels like probably not really working class anymore.
You shifted
as
that.
Much as I want to
be.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to go down Morrison's and get in a fight with Dad, and then maybe I'll jump back down again.
Yeah.
Or I don't know how you feel it. I feel like I'd rather be working class.
Yeah.
But...
well, I don't know what class I am these days. Does it even exist? I guess it still does.
Does it exist anymore? That's a whole podcast in itself. Is there classism in running? Get this right. Yeah. Right on that. I was writing, so obviously we don't have our top 10 UK, top 10 parkrunners article tomorrow. Yeah. And I thought, what, the people still want some parkrun rankings, though. So I did the top 10 all-time parkrun rankings. Right? It's ready for tomorrow. It's going to go out. Bang. People are going to love it.
Wow.
And I discovered, right, that Andy Bagley, as well as being an Olympian, has a double first in engineering from Cambridge University.
Isn't it aeronautical engineering, like? As in, I don't know, actually.
I didn't even Wikipedia didn't go into that depth. Aeronautical engineering.
Something like that. I think he was in, like, aerospace and stuff. I might have made that up, but, yeah, clever fella.
That is, I mean, that's pretty cool, though, isn't it?
Very clever fella. And now he runs a YouTube channel. Would you believe?
Yeah, what's the world come to, eh?
We're not using it. We're not using his expertise. He's talking about tips on YouTube. We should be doing, you know... I don't know, something important. Anyway, so Andy...
Double first in engineering. Yeah. I had a friend at school, played rugby for... His brother played rugby for Northampton. Yeah. And he had a career-ending injury.
Yeah.
And he fell back on his, again, similar first-class degree in engineering from Cambridge. So that's a solid thing to fall back on.
Yeah. Oh, look at us. Anyway, I'm going
to... This is definitely not a bus story.
No,
it's
not.
I did say to someone I'd give a bus... Have you got any decent bus stories, mate?
I don't think I've been on a bus for about 5 years. We don't...
You are definitely not working class.
Yeah, we don't have... I live in the land of bikes now.
I've been there for...
Oh, hang on. Yeah, I did go on the bus the other day to get to the station. So I have been on a bus. And yeah, buses... Well, there's nothing much to say about buses in Amsterdam. Yeah. Yeah, that's my bus story. There's nothing much to report. I did just have a bike a minute ago, and I did cycle down the wrong side of the road because I'm still used to going on the right side. So that's kind of my.
Jeez, you really suck at isolation, didn't you? You've been biking, you've been shopping.
That was just to go to the shop.
Oh, all right,
so it was one incident.
How many people did you touch?
I didn't.
When you
I kept 5 meters away. I'm very bad at it.
Are you going out running the next couple of days?
Yes. Yeah, that's not good either, is it? I'm sucking at this stuff. I'm going to keep to the trail.
Well, you can go running. No, that's still advice.
Yeah, okay. I'll keep to the trail, keep out of the way.
It's still advice to go out running in the UK.
Yeah, great. I'm going to do that. Yeah. I'm going to get out there.
It's good for you.
I've got a fartlek session planned, actually. Talking about recovery.
Bring it back to a bit of running discussion.
Yeah, I've got a good little fartlek planned.
What have you got?
I think I've got 800 like miles, basically. 800 at... 10k pace, about 310, and then 800 at 350, I think, pace per k. I'm on k's now.
You've got a bit of a float, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm doing some k's. I'm always in k's now. I've gone European, so yeah, that's going to be enjoyable. So I'm going to be doing that today. I'm feeling a bit peaky though. I'm coming down with hypochondria, so I might just turn it into like a nice trail run in a minute and enjoy that. But
that. I mean, that's not a bad shout, to be honest. Yeah. You've got like plenty of runners listening. If you lead by example, but let Martin know.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
Does Martin listen? I bet he doesn't listen to the ones I'm on. We mute it. Are you listening, Martin, or have you like muted my voice?
Yeah, I think he's muted. But yeah, he might do. He listened to the last one, so yeah, he does listen every now and again. Yeah.
Oh, I like Martin. Yeah, he's got a lot of knowledge.
He has. Yeah, he's a very good coach. He sorted me out in a few things. He sorted my arse out. That sounds weird. And he sorted my food, eating out. So I've got to give Martin his credit. He's a good man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to go and put the baby to bed. We're going to try and get her down. I can hear her somewhere downstairs shouting, so I'm going to go and put her to bed. But yeah, we'll speak again, Robbie, soon.
Chat to you soon. Look after yourself and your family, sure?
Will do. You too. And Rosa. Night-night. Bye-bye.